Well, good afternoon. How many of you are sleeping? I've been seeing many yawns. I echo that with a hearty amen. It's time for all good reformers to go to take a nap. But anyway, here we are. So I pity the people that had to teach after lunch. I always dread those times when I speak because it's hard after eating to stay awake. But here we are. So we are our final session on cultivating a prayerful heart. And we began by being disciplined in the word of prayer. And then last session by thirsting after God in the wilderness and learning from King David how to cultivate a prayerful heart when you seem like you're in a wilderness and you don't belong. So hopefully that was encouraging to you. And so we're going to end with remembering our sovereign God. And I am convinced that women today, as I mentioned, are struggling with life-dominating sins and just wrong habits because they don't know the God of the Bible. And so that's why I wanted to turn to Psalm 145 and consider the wonderful attributes of our sovereign Lord, which should be a springboard to pray and to cultivate a very prayerful heart. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Several years ago, our church went through Steve Lawson's video series on the attributes of God, and I thought his opening remark was profound, which actually is a quote by A.W. Tozer. Whatever comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Whatever comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Have you stopped long enough to think about God? And when you do stop and think about him, what do you think about him? When God comes into your mind, do you think of him as a benevolent grandfather in heaven that's waiting to lavish you with all the things that you want? Do you think about him being loving, kind, merciful? Do you think he's a God in heaven? I know I grew up thinking he was a God in heaven that was waiting to zap me every time I got out of line, and he probably should have. What do you think about God? Well, whatever you think about God, my friend, should be based on what is true about God. And may I say we would do well to return to the scriptures to see what God says about himself? That's why many today are worshiping a God in their own image, because they don't know the God of the Bible. That's why many of us are floundering in our spiritual life and not having victory over sin and not cultivating a prayerful heart because we don't know the God of the Bible. The psalmist thought correctly about God, and he reminded himself of this wonderful sovereign Lord. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at the psalm in its entirety, and I'm going to give you 16 attributes of God, 16 things you need to remember that I hope will be a springboard to pray to this sovereign Lord. And then also we're going to look at 6 responses that we should have as we think about our sovereign Lord. I'm not going to read the psalm in its entirety just due to time, and I want to be sensitive to those that have asked me to end on time, so even though I can talk really fast, so as you probably well know. This psalm is written by David, just like our last one was. We do not know the event, which is interesting. We don't know what was going on. Many people believe that David is coming into the end of his life, and so he's reflecting on the sovereignty of God. He's reflecting on all the attributes of God. It is a psalm of praise. In fact, it's the only psalm with this inscription, a psalm of praise. It's also alphabetical in the sense that each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The only letter that is left out is the N, which is nun, and it's not a Catholic nun. It's an N-U-N, a nun, in the Hebrew. And it's possible that some think that he left the letter out, the N, so that this psalm could be divided into 3 stanzas, 7 verses apiece. And I will tell you, because I love to do my own outlines, I do write my own outlines for my teaching, but this psalm really does not lend itself to a division or an outline. In fact, Charles Haddon Spurgeon couldn't even outline this psalm, so don't expect me to. A few more interesting facts about this psalm. They would say that whoever said it three times a day would be blessed. And I hope you'll see that as we go over this psalm. And I would encourage you, if you've never memorized scripture, memorize this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. And say it three times a day, and we'll just see how it changes your attitude. It'll be really good. Also, they said that this was a householder psalm, so people would be good to read this in their house together. And so this might be something that you would want to read. I also read it in the morning service and the evening service in the synagogue. So let's look at David's first response to his sovereign God in verse 1 of chapter 145. David says, "I will extol you, my king, my God, my king, and I will bless your name forever and ever." It's interesting, even though David was the king of Israel, he recognized that God was the only true king. He's the king of kings. This king is sovereign, and David recognized that. And notice what David says. He says, "I will extol you," which means I will lift your name up so that it can be heard. So ladies, if you're taking notes, David's first response when he thinks about God is he extols him, which means he makes his name known. Is this your response when you think about God? Do you have a hard time keeping quiet about your relationship with God? Are you excited to make God known to others? Now, this entire psalm would be in vain if it weren't for that two-letter word that we saw even in our last psalm, Psalm 63. The word is my God, my King. Ladies, I want to bring this out again. I may never see some of you again because I don't know if I'll come back to Illinois or not, but apart from a personal relationship with God, it would be in vain to even try to pray, right? You're not going to be able to cultivate a prayerful heart if you don't know the true God. And so if you have never bowed your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you are not in a covenant relationship with Him, He is your master, you are His servant, I beg you to do that before you leave these premises today. Repent and turn and give your life over to Him. But this psalm would be vain if David didn't say, "My God." You know, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you won't have a prayerful heart for sure. You might be able to mutter a verse or two or sing a spiritual song, but you really can't praise the Lord from the heart, from that heart that is given over to Him. God was David's God and David's king. Is the true God your God? Is He your king? Is He your Lord? Lifting His name up high or making Him known will be a mystery to you if you do not have a living relationship with the living God. Well, David also recognized this relationship will be with God throughout all eternity by what he says next. "I will bless your name forever and ever." This is the second response to this sovereign God, if you're taking notes. I will bless your name. I will praise your name. Ladies, David didn't wonder or doubt about the covenant he'd made with God. He would praise Him forever and ever, which means throughout all eternity. Ladies, we not only have the wonderful privilege right now of praising the name of the Lord, but do you realize we're going to be able to do that through all eternity? It's been interesting to have some personal conversation with some of you this weekend and just to extol the name of God and what God is doing in your life and how He's changing your life through the study of God's Word. That's been wonderful. And there was one couple of girls I was talking to out there in the hallway a while ago. And as I was looking at them and they were talking, I was like, I'm going to be in eternity with these women that I'm just now meeting for the first time. And we're going to be in heaven forever and ever praising God. We're going to be able to bless His name throughout all eternity. So David will not only bless his name forever in heaven, where blessing is going to be easy. I've often thought about, you know, I bet my husband's always already seen Charles Spurgeon and John Calvin and I don't know who else, R.C. Sproul, I don't know what he's doing up there. But praising the name, that's going to be great. But he also is determined to praise Him here on earth. And quite frankly, ladies, some days for King David were not exactly rosy, just like some of your days are hard too. Notice what he says in verse 2, "Every day I will bless you. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever." These words are very similar to Psalm 34. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." And by the way, Psalm 34 that I just quoted from was written when David was fleeing King Saul. And yet he says, I will bless your name forever and ever, every single day. I'm afraid the 21st century Christian psalm of praise would sound like this. On Sunday morning, I will bless you. When I'm having a good hair day, I will bless you. By the way, these things are not very good for your hair back here, but it messes up quite a bit. I will bless you, what, when everything's going great. But David says, every day I will bless you. I will bless you when you take my newborn son. I will bless you when my son Absalom is killed. I will bless you when Shemaiah casts curses at me. I will bless you when my dearest friend Ahithophel turns against me. I will bless you. In fact, as Job said to his wife after he had a few bad days, lost all 10 of his children, broke out with boils all over his body, take a piece of pottery and was scraping them, and lost all of his cattle, all of his substance. Remember what she said? She said, she forgot to read The Excellent Life. She said, why don't you curse God and die? And you remember what he said to you? You speak like one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not adversity? Job blessed the Lord, even though he took everything he had. Ladies, do you find it difficult to praise God when things are tough? You can learn from King David to praise our sovereign God, even when things are hard. Now, you might say, well, what kind of a God would be worthy of praise even when one's day is difficult? Well, verse 3 answers that question. Notice what David says. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. David now remembers some wonderful qualities about his sovereign God. If you're taking notes, David remembers, first of all, this is the first quality of our sovereign Lord. And ladies, this should be a springboard to prayer, to cultivate a prayerful heart. God is great. Great is our Lord. This is a wonderful characteristic of him. And because he's great, which means he's exceedingly great, then David says he's to be greatly praised. He goes on to say, and his greatness is unsearchable. This means of his greatness, there is no search. There is no search. I love Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Ladies, we can't search his greatness. You know, a lot of us today, my husband, when he was living, used to call me the Google queen. Just ask Susan, she'll Google it for you. But you can't search the greatness of God on Google. Ladies, we cannot plumb the depths of God's goodness. No one has plumbed its depths. And by the way, since that's true, why do we spend elsewhere searching the greatness of God except in this book? Why don't we search the greatness of God in these 66 love letters he's left for you? This is where you're going to find out how great God is. I'm grieved when I see women who are anemic in their faith. They have little victory over sin. Why? They don't know the God of the Bible. They spend time doing all this other stuff, but just a few moments with God. Ladies, God wants your time. He wants you, as I mentioned. He's jealous for you. My friend, this should cause us to pause and consider our core commitment to Christ if we don't have an appetite to search his greatness in the scriptures. Well, as David reflects on this amazing attribute of God, he reflects on the desire to pass this down to the next generation. Notice what he says, verse 4. One generation will praise your works to another and will declare your mighty acts. Now, David would be very familiar, as I mentioned in our last session. All Jews would have the first 5 books of Moses memorized by the time they were 12. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Why don't you that are homeschoolers go home and tell your children that's their assignment? They'll say, put me in public school, Mom. Actually, that'd be the best thing for them. So he'd be familiar with what? Deuteronomy 6, which says what? They're to pass down, teach your children diligently when you sit down, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, teach them the things of God. In fact, it was a command. It was a command by God to Moses, pass this down, teach this to your children. Ladies, do your children and grandchildren hear you praising the Lord for all he's done? What kind of a legacy are you passing down to your children? To your grandchildren? What kind of a mother, when it comes your time to pass from this life to the next, and you will. We're all. There's two things that are certain, right? Death and taxes. So you will, and taxes are coming up soon. When it's time for you to go, in fact, when I had to get my husband's headstone, they told me I had to put mine too, and I'd be like, well, I'm not dead yet. And they said, well, it would just be better if you save you a lot of money and your kids a lot of hassle. So I told my children, I said, when you go see your dad, if you do, at the grave, my name's there too. And I had him put on there, he wanted on his tombstone, he taught his people to fear the Lord. And I've always wanted, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. But I told the ladies in my church, if I don't keep the faith, go scratch that out. So after I'm gone. But, you know, it makes you think, what kind of a mother or grandmother will your children and grandchildren remember after you're gone? What kind of a legacy are we passing down? Will they remember you as someone who's always complaining, arguing, unhappy, or someone who's full of joy, thanksgiving, giving praise to God, even when things are difficult? Will they remember you as a woman of prayer and one who prayed about everything? Well, David's second remembrance of God, he says, God is powerful. He is powerful. He says, I will declare your mighty acts. So this is referring to God's power, if you're taking notes. Now, you might wonder, well, what would be included in that? Well, David knew about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. And then what did he do? He spoke light, and light came into existence. And he divided the light from the darkness. And he built the firmament and the animals and the vegetation. David was very familiar with all that. You think that's powerful? Ladies, can any of you speak creation into existence? No, even though some teach that today. You can't. He also would remember the flood. He would remember the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. David knew all these things. He'd memorized them. And so it caused his heart to well up in praise. Ladies, does your heart well up in praise when you remember the works of God in your life, the mighty power of God in your life? Do you rehearse the goodness of God as you talk to him? Ladies, that will cultivate a prayerful heart. Rehearse the goodness of the Lord. When you bow your head in prayer, don't just have this list of everything you want to ask God for. Thank God for his power in your life, for his goodness. I will tell you, since my husband's passed almost 3 months now, it'll be November 17th, it'll be 3 months, I have been taking a journal of everything that God has done to me. It's pretty amazing. It's great. It's powerful. It shows that he's my husband now. He's a protector. He's a provider. It's amazing to me, things I've never seen him do in my life before. But do you thank God for those things? Does your heart well up in praise? You know, David desires to pass down to the next generation God's wonderful works and mighty acts, and so should we. I really fear for the next generation. I fear for the next generation. They don't know who God is. You want to know why? They've traded spending time studying who God is, which is what we call theology, to spending time on technology. That's what they've traded it for. Throw this out and bring me my phone or my iPad, right? Ladies, it's a scary thing to think about our children and our grandchildren. I pray this isn't the case with us, and a good exercise would be, as I mentioned in our first session, keep a journal of your day and see where your time is spent. Well, all this contemplation of God's great and mighty works causes David to shout out. He can't keep silent. Look at verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. David determines to meditate on God's glorious splendor or honor and on his majesty. So ladies, meditating on God is the third response that David has to his sovereign God. Meditating on him. I will meditate on your majesty, your works. This is also the third and fourth quality that he recalls of God, the third and fourth characteristic of our sovereign God. It is honor and majesty. Honor and majesty. Ladies, honor would be God's magnificent, his beauty, and majesty would mean his excellency. Ladies, we spend a lot of time meditating on a lot of things, right? When my husband was alive, I used to meditate on what I was going to fix for dinner every night of the week. I've cooked one time since he's been gone. Don't tell him that, but it's been kind of nice, actually. And that meal was for a family that was coming over for dinner. But I haven't fixed dinner. But I used to. I'd get home from my trips and then go to the grocery store Monday morning and plan my meals out for the week. Or we meditate on what we're going to wear, how we're going to pay the next bill. But do we stop and meditate on the majesty and honor of our God? Ladies, if we would take time to meditate on the majesty and honor of our God, it would make all those other things seem less important. It really wouldn't matter. They don't matter in light of eternity, do they? It really doesn't matter in light of eternity what I'm going to fix for dinner or what I'm going to wear. It really doesn't matter. Ladies, we often give in to wrong thinking and sinful worry, but we need to train our minds to think on things above and to dwell on our wonderful God. This will cultivate a prayerful heart. Well, David repeats what he just said about meditating on the wondrous works of God, which are works that are distinguished, extraordinary, miraculous, only works that God can perform. And others are going to join David too. Look at verse 6. Men will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Now, these awesome acts, again, were probably like the throwing over of the Red Sea or the plagues in Egypt or the overthrowing of Pharaoh or how about the swallowing up of the sons of Korah? I mean, that's pretty creepy, right? The whole earth opens up and it kind of swallows them in. David would remember, these are awesome acts. These should make us awestruck for sure. Ladies, we would do well to remind ourselves of the awesomeness of God in these acts performed, even now. I think in the last few years, the earthquakes, the floods, the fires we've had, things that are going on, this should cause us to think of our awesome God. He is awesome. I mean, Peter tells us that with just like that, the whole earth is going to be burned up with a everything in it, the earth, all the works, the chairs, the carpet, these flowers, everything is going to be burned up in a flash. And he says, what holy manner of men ought we to be? This is going to happen. You talk about an awesome work. That's going to be the last awesome work, right? He destroyed the earth once by flood, and then he's going to destroy it again by fire. Ladies, we need to remind ourselves of the awesomeness of our God. David says, they will speak about this, and I will declare your greatness. Ladies, when's the last time you spoke of the greatness of God to someone? Did you speak of the greatness of him to your children, family, friends, church members? Well, along with these awesome acts that others will speak about will be two of God's wonderful attributes, his goodness and his righteousness. David remembers them well. Look at verse 7. They will utter the memory of your great goodness and will sing of your righteousness. Interesting word, utter. It's a word which means to sputter forth or a bubbling, overflowing fountain. Ladies, do you ever feel that way when desiring to give praise to God for what he has done for you, for his great goodness? Can't wait to tell somebody. You know, bad news travels fast, but what about good news? David wanted to make sure it was God's great goodness that was noised about. Ladies, this is the fifth attribute of our sovereign God. God is great. He has great goodness. He is good. Ladies, I would encourage you to recall the goodness of the Lord every day in your life. It will cultivate a prayerful heart. I know women that every time they open their mouth, it's critical and negative. Everything is bad. How are you? Oh, I'm okay. I used to call a lady on the phone every day. I said, how are you doing? I'm all right. Wow. We need to recall the goodness of God, right? Even King Jehoshaphat, when that great army was coming against him, and he knew there's no way he could fight that great army. And he said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And you know, one of the first thing he did, he acknowledged God's goodness. He acknowledged the goodness of God. God, you are good. You gave us this land. Now don't take it away from us. You are good. My friend, God has been good to us in the past, right? Has God been good to you in the past? Okay, one lady's shaking her head. Is he good to you today? Yeah. Yeah, you got to eat lunch. That's good. You know, most of the world hadn't got to eat lunch yet. You don't know. If you've never been to a third world country, I encourage you to go. And will he be good to you in the future? Yeah, he will. So we need to acknowledge his goodness, and it's a great springboard for prayer. Start just thanking the Lord every day. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you for my sink. Thank you for the water that comes out of my faucet. Thank you for the soap to wash my hands. Thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, hands, you know. Thank the Lord for that. Well, David, as we know, was a sweet psalmist of Israel, and so singing was something he did a lot. And he mentions next about singing of another one of God's attributes, his righteousness. So, ladies, singing about God is the fourth response that David has as he remembers his God. I will sing of your righteousness. Ladies, have you ever been so overcome with God's greatness and goodness that you break forth in song? I hope so, even if you can't sing, even if you just make a noise, a joyful noise, right? When you sing in public worship, like this weekend, we've sang a lot of songs, and I thank the Lord for the good theology in these songs. I've been to some conferences and retreats where I'm like, what are we singing? I don't know what we're singing. In fact, I remember one specifically where I almost got up. I didn't. I practiced self-control, but I don't know what we sang, but when I got up for my first session, I wanted to say, now that we're done with our vain babblings, let's go on to the Word, but I didn't. Proud of me. I controlled myself. I wanted to, though. So whoever picked out the songs, thank you that they were rich in theology and truth and not trite songs that are, again, based on felt needs. They were very good. But David sings of his righteousness, which means our sovereign God does what is right. Ladies, God's righteousness, if you're taking notes, his righteousness is the sixth attribute that David remembers about his sovereign God. He is righteous. And this would be a comfort to David, because many of his friends did not do what was right. Many of his family members did not do what was right. But David knew that God was righteous. God will do what is right. Will not the God of the earth do what is right? He is just. And ladies, that should cause us to break forth in song. Do you ever sing of the attributes of God? We sang some of them, right? I'm so thankful that we, as again, sang songs and hymns that were rich in theology this weekend. Well, David now remembers four more attributes about our sovereign God in verse 8. The Lord is gracious. This is the seventh attribute of God, that he is gracious. David remembers, God, you are gracious, which refers to his undeserved favor that God bestowed upon David. Boy, David sure knew of God's grace, didn't he? David received grace numerous times when he should have received punishment. And my friend, you have too. You know, sometimes we look at these people in the Old Testament. I had somebody text me the other day. She was working on the homework in 2 Peter, and she said, how could righteous be Lot and all that he did? Basically, he who has sin cast the first stone, right? We're not without sin. God is gracious. And David received this grace, and so have you, and so have I. Ladies, do we call upon and thank God as we cultivate this prayerful heart? Lord, thank you for being gracious. And not only that, but David said he's compassionate, and not just compassionate, but he says he's full of compassion. What does this mean? He has pity on his children. In fact, it reminds me of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. Remember when she saw baby Moses floating down the river? And it says that she was full of compassion. And that compassion led her to what? Action. To take the baby out of the river and found a mom for it, which happened to be his mother. How's that for God's sovereignty, right? She didn't just say, oh, what a cute little baby floating down the river. Bye-bye, baby. No, she got the baby. She was full of compassion. That's what David is saying about God. Ladies, this should cultivate a prayerful heart. He is full of compassion, and he's shown compassion to you. Sometimes we just don't recognize it. We need to stop and acknowledge the compassionate Savior that we have. That's the eighth attribute, by the way, if you're taking notes, that David recalls about God. Well, the ninth attribute of God that David remembers about his sovereign Lord, he says he's slow to anger. He's slow to anger, which means he's long to become angry. In fact, anger in the Hebrew refers to the breathing part of the body, the nose, the nostrils, or your face. It's, in fact, by the act of breathing. You ever seen someone get angry? Sometimes their nose can actually, like, ooh, you know, that was me before Christ, you know. In fact, that's why my husband almost called off the wedding, because I had a terrible temper terrible temper. And I can remember some, I won't repeat them because they're so bad, I'm embarrassed, but I had terrible temper. And in anger, they say our nose actually dilates and breathing becomes more intense. God is slow to get angry. Aren't you thankful? God is slow to get angry, which is unlike most of humanity, which is quick to get angry. In fact, we know our sovereign God is a God of wrath, and many believe his wrath is being poured out on us. But ladies, we've only seen the beginning of it. Are you thankful he's slow to anger? I am. Well, David then remembers God is of great mercy. This is the 10th on our list of the characteristics of our sovereign God. Ladies, he is merciful. He is merciful. In fact, mercy is a word in the Hebrew language that refers to a woman and her emotion towards her unborn child she's carrying. She has mercy toward that unborn child. Debbie and I met a lady on one of our trips. Her name was Brittany, and she was very pregnant, and she was carrying a baby. And she said, when this baby is born, it's going to die. It's only going to live a few hours outside of the womb. And her doctor had wanted her to abort it, and she wouldn't do it. And certainly she had the baby, and she sent us pictures of the baby, and the baby died. And they buried it in the backyard. She's had another baby since then, and we've seen this new little girl, so exciting. But she had mercy towards that unborn child. That's the Hebrew word, a mercy that a mother has towards her unborn child. David certainly knew about God's mercy, didn't he? He deserved death according to the Old Testament law because of his adultery with Bathsheba, and yet God spared his life. Another time in David's life when God showed him great mercy when he numbered the Israelites. And the other prophet came in, not Nathan, but Gad, and said, okay, you got three choices, David. He gave him his three choices, you know, famine, pestilence. And he, you know, remember what David said? Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hands of my enemies. I'd rather fall into the hands of the Lord than the hands of my enemies. Why? Because God's mercy is great. And ladies, God has poured out his mercy on you and me, right? And we need to remember that when we pray. It should cultivate a prayerful heart. Lord, thank you for mercy you've shown on me. Well, David goes on in verse 9, the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. This is the second time that David has recalled the goodness of the Lord. And so perhaps as he's ending his life, these attributes stand out. Ladies, the Lord is good. The Lord is good and his tender mercies are over all his works. In fact, this word here, tender mercies, expresses the pity, the yearning compassion of a parent like the father of the prodigal son mentioned in Luke 15. He showed that mercy to his son. God is good, and his tender mercies are towards all of his creation. In fact, Matthew says, he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He cares for all of his creation. Well, David goes on to say, even the works of God can't keep silent. Look at verse 10. All your works will praise you, O Lord, and your saints will bless you. In fact, we won't turn over there, but if you look over at Psalm 148, David calls upon all creation here to praise the Lord. The sun, the moon, the stars, the waters, the heaven, old men, young men, creatures, everything to praise the Lord. That's what David's saying here. All your works praise you. Everything you have made praises you and blesses you. In fact, David goes on to say it's not only the works of God that praises him, but his saints here, which means the holy ones. This would include all those who've gone before us who are now in heaven. That would be including my husband, all the angels, as well as all who are presently here on earth. Ladies, do you spend each day praising God as you pray? That will cultivate a prayerful heart. Praise the Lord, no matter what. Well, David mentions what these saints will speak about in verse 11. Notice what he says. They're going to speak about your glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power. So ladies, the next attribute that David remembers is God's rule, his kingdom. We would say his sovereign rule. This would be the 11th reason to praise God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Ladies, God rules over all. He rules over the day of your birth, the day of your death. He's numbered your days before the foundation of the world. Do you know only God knows your expiration date? There's really not a lot you can do to change that, right? He's already determined that. God is sovereign. Now, I know a lot of people in our day don't believe that. They don't believe God is sovereign. I remember one guy in our church years ago, he's not there anymore. He told my husband, he said, "I don't think God knew 9/11 was going to happen." And my husband said, "Oh, really? The sovereign God that knows everything didn't know that 9/11 was going to happen?" Ladies, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord, right? One day everyone will say, "Yes, you are sovereign." I'd rather do it in this life than the next life, right? Ladies, is the sovereignty of God a topic you've had with your friends, your family, your church? The fact that God is sovereign, he's all-powerful, as David mentions again in this verse, is something we should rehearse. And ladies, as you do, it changes the way you act, the way you talk, the way you think, and the way you pray, and the way you live your life. We talk a lot about a lot of topics, don't we? Vaccines, mandates, children, grandchildren. I like to talk about my grandkids. They're all teenagers now except one. So the weather, you know, talk about the weather, the latest news. But when did you have a talk about the glory of the kingdom where God rules and reigns? Well, David repeats the same idea in verse 12, and he says, "To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of your kingdom." Ladies, the idea here is that David is saying we should not only talk about the wonderful attributes of God with like-minded believers, but we should also talk about the wonderful attributes of God to those who don't not know him, the sons of men. Ladies, this is the fifth on our list of responses that we should have when we think about our sovereign God. We should be a witness to them. We should be witnessing. We should be telling them about this wonderful God. Do you know my husband was 16 years of age before he ever heard the name Jesus? His girlfriend's mother had enough love for him that she called him into the living room, sent the daughter upstairs, the girlfriend, and she got her big old Bible out, Doug said, and said, "I'm going to make a Baptist out of you." And anyway, she shared the gospel with him. He'd never even heard the name Jesus. Didn't grow up in a Christian home, grew up in a pagan home. Ladies, there's many out there that live in the United States of America. They've never heard the name Jesus. They don't know about this sovereign God. They don't know his name. We need to make him known. We need to be bold in our witnessing. Well, this is not just any kingdom we're talking about that compels us to share. It's a very special kind of kingdom. What kind of kingdom? Look at verse 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." Ladies, David here is just basically referring to God's reign, his government, his sovereignty. This is the 12th remembrance that David has of God. He will reign. He is king. God is king, both now and forever. Well, in verse 14, David's perhaps reflecting at the end of his life the wonderful attribute of God, that of helping him when he was without strength. Notice what he says. "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up everyone who is bowed down." Ladies, the Lord is a sustainer or upholder of all who fall. This is the 13th characteristic of our sovereign Lord. He's an upholder. He strengthens, he sustains those who fall. In fact, this would be those who have no power to hold themselves up. They can't stand the weight, the burden they're under. And so God comes and he lifts them up. He sustains them. He upholds them. Ladies, God is continually giving strength to those who are bent under the weight of their burdens. In fact, the words "bowed down" indicate those who are bent down, they're about ready to fall. The trials of life are getting to them, and God comes in and he strengthens them so they don't fall and they don't become crushed under the heavy load. This was certainly true in David's life. I can't tell you how many times God strengthened David, upheld him when he was about ready to fall. And ladies, it's true in your life too, right? It's true in your life. Every time I go home after one of these speaking things, I'm struck with the reality that my husband's not there to greet me, to talk. He was my greatest supporter of what I do. He's the one that really encouraged me to use my spiritual gifts for the kingdom. He's the one that even after a stroke 3 years ago, and I had a speaking engagement following in 3 days, and I said, I'm going to cancel it. And he said, no, you're not. The work of the Lord goes on. You're going to go. And so every week I go home, and he's not there. And there have been times it's been hard, but you know what? The Lord has strengthened me. He strengthens me. He sustains me. He lifts me up. He's my helper. He's my rock. He's my salvation. David was like that too. Many times he was under the weight, a heavy load. Over and over we read, God upheld David, raised him up time and time again. And ladies, he's done that for you. And he's done that for me. In fact, if we wrote a book about all the times the Lord has upheld us and raised us up, it would be a book over 1,000 pages probably, if we would really think about it. How many times has God lifted you up and upheld you? Do you cry out to him in your despair? Do you thank him that he upholds you? Well, he also provides for our physical needs. Look at verse 15. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. The idea is that all creatures are looking for God, to God, for their needs in due season, in the proper time. You know, isn't it amazing the animal life looks to God to feed them and sustain them? Even the animals are smarter than us, right? The birds of the air, they don't, you know, they're not worried about what they're going to eat, but, you know, it's what the whole point in Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air. They're not worrying about this. They know their father feeds them. Ladies, the animal life is smarter than us. They look to God. They know he's the sustainer of life. And yet we as humans made in the image of God, we look to others to meet our needs, right? Instead of God. Well, not only are our needs provided for, but our desires. Look at verse 16. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand here is symbolic of God's power or strength, and he opens that hand of power and satisfies the desire of every living thing, mankind and animals. He satisfies them. Ladies, when you marry verse 15 and 16 together, you can't help but see the loving kindness of God. This is number 14 on our characteristics of our sovereign God. His loving kindness. His loving kindness. Ladies, do you look to God for your needs or do you look elsewhere? You know, he's really the only one that can show you that kind of loving kindness, right? I remember right after we got married, I remember one time my husband said something to me. I thought, well, that wasn't very nice. And then I thought about it later, and I thought, he's right. He said to me one time after we got married, he said, Susan, God did not make me to meet all your emotional needs, so don't expect me to. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, so, well, what are you talking about? I thought that's why we got married. You could meet all my emotional needs. But boy, did I quickly find out he was exactly right. You know, we look so often to others, to a husband, to a friend, to a mentor even. But ladies, we have this wonderful sovereign God who has, he's full of loving kindness and all these attributes that we've looked at. Do you cast your care on him? Have you thanked God for his loving kindness towards you? Well, David rehearses again two more attributes he's already mentioned in the next verse. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all of his works. What does this mean? Everything that God does is right. Everything he does is gracious. Is this amazing God within David's reach? Of course he is. Just like he's in with your reach as well. As you call upon him, look at verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord is near, or that means at hand, to all who call upon him, which means to call aloud. And so we get the idea here that David is crying out to God in prayer. But ladies, notice this prayer has to be what? Notice the end of the verse, in truth, in truth. Sincerity, no hypocrisy. Ladies, don't come to God in prayer. You're not going to cultivate a prayerful heart. If you come to God in prayer with a bunch of flowery speech and stuff you don't mean, tell him what's really on your heart. Be honest with him. Don't be hypocritical in prayer. Remember what Jesus says, God is a spirit and they worship him, must worship him in spirit and what? Truth, in truth. Ladies, when you read the Psalms, you don't, David's not flowery in his speech. He's telling God how it really is. Oh, I wish I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and be at rest. Just get me out of here. Or, Lord, why are the wicked prospering? I don't understand this. How come they're prospering? Everything's going hunky-dory with them, but not with me. You know, he does come to the end of most of his psalms, says, I will trust in you. Ladies, come boldly to the throne of grace that you can find help in your time of need. So, ladies, this is the sixth response that David has to his magnificent God. He prays to him. He prays to him. He says the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He prays to this sovereign God. As I mentioned last night, Elizabeth Elliot once said, prayer is irksome. We're reluctant to start and delighted to end, but not David. Not David. He had a correct view of God. He knew about the sovereignty of God in his life so much so that he prayed. He called upon God. And ladies, we're blessed to have 150 of those. They're not all written by David, but we have 150. I would encourage you, use those in your prayer life. That will cultivate a prayerful heart. Use the Psalms to pray. Well, did God answer those prayers of David? Of course he did. Look at verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry and save them. David says, God will answer those who fear or reverence him. He will deliver them out of all of their troubles. Now, does this mean everything went David's way? No. Just like everything's not going to go your way, right? It wasn't really my desire that at that time that God took my husband home, but, you know, that's God's will. So it does become my desire, right? But ladies, it does promise that he will be near us in our troubles, and absolutely nothing can take away the inner tranquility of your soul that comes from knowing God alone. He is enough. We have God, and he's enough. He really is. Well, David has another attribute about God. He recalls in verse 20, notice, the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The Lord preserves, which means he hedges us about. In fact, the hedging there is with thorns. So the idea is there that he's surrounding you with thorns. Everyone who is in a covenant relationship with him, everyone he loves, we're surrounded with thorns so nothing can get in. It's like what Paul says in Philippians, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which what? Surpasses your understanding. Guard your heart and your mind. Nothing can get in. God is protecting us. Ladies, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. In fact, the word love here, it says he preserves all who love him. It expresses an ardent and vehement inclination of the mind and a tenderness of affection at the same time. Ladies, what a wonderful promise to those who love God. And I'm sure you'd like to stop right there and go home. But David's not done. Notice what he says, but all the wicked will he destroy. Now you might say, David, why did you have to go and ruin a perfectly good psalm by putting that in there? Why did you do that? Because, ladies, God is just. God is just, and that is the 15th attribute that David recalls about God. He will destroy all the wicked. What does this mean? Well, it expresses utter ruin and extermination. Ladies, this attribute is very important when we consider prayer. You know why? Because we live in an age that minimizes this attribute of God. No matter what our age does, God is just. He will do what is right. It's as just as much a part of him as his goodness, his mercy, his greatness, his loving kindness, all those wonderful attributes we've looked at. In fact, the Bible says he will by no means clear the guilty. None of us in this room are going to get a King's X on Judgment Day. God is angry with the wicked every day. What if God decided not to destroy the wicked? Well, that means that you and I will be spending eternity with wicked people. I don't know about you. I'm spending this earth on this earth with wicked people. I really don't want to spend eternity with wicked people. Well, by now, I hope you're all as excited and thrilled as David with this psalm of praise, and you can echo the last verse of this psalm with David. David ends the psalm the same way he began it, with a determination to praise the Lord. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Ladies, not only will David praise the Lord, but he also calls upon all flesh to bless his name forever and ever. And ladies, notice, it's not any name. Notice what he says. It's his holy name. His holy name. This is the 16th and final attribute that David mentions about his sovereign God. He is holy. He's not like you. He's not like me. He's separate from anything that is sinful, anything that is evil. In fact, the Bible says God can't even look upon sin. He's holy. And by the way, our brother Peter says we're to be holy as he's holy, right? So you and I are to strive for that. Well, ladies, have you called to remembrance lately just who this sovereign God is that you love and serve, the one that you want to cultivate a prayerful heart with? I want to challenge you in the coming days to call to remembrance that God is great. If you want to cultivate a prayerful heart, he is great, he's powerful, he's worthy of honor, he's majestic, he's good, he's righteous, he's gracious, he's full of compassion, he's slow to anger, he's merciful, he's sovereign, he's the king who reigns, he upholds those who are weary, he possesses loving kindness, he's just, and he's holy. Is that enough to cultivate a prayerful heart? I hope so. What else do you need? I don't know. And as you recall these 16 marvelous attributes that your sovereign Lord possesses, I want to encourage you to respond with the same responses that King David responded with. First of all, make his name known. Talk to others about God, what he's doing in your life. I love Malachi 3:16 that says, those who feared the Lord often talk to one another about the Lord. And you know what it says? There's a book of remembrance written. I guess when we get to heaven, we're going to see that book of remembrance that is in heaven. Maybe one of the books that's going to be open with our names in it if we've talked about our wonderful Lord. Secondly, I want you to praise his name. Ladies, spend a good portion of your prayer time praising and thanking God for who he is, what he's done, what he is doing. And then thirdly, do what David did, meditate on him. Ladies, when you leave here this afternoon, and we're going to be driving for about 7 hours, and yesterday when we were coming and I wasn't driving, Debbie was driving, many times I looked out the window and saw some baby cows and big cows and deer and different things and even some dead Bambis. That was kind of sad. You know, when you view his creation, do you ever think about the creator when you see all that creation? Debbie and I have been some beautiful places in the 20 plus years we've been traveling. Beautiful things. Do you thank God? Don't worship the creation. Worship the creator, right? When you see your children or your grandchildren, my grandchildren, which I hope to see next or whenever Thanksgiving is, they're all coming home. But, you know, thank God who created them in the mother's womb. Thank God for that. Meditate on scripture. I didn't get to speak on scripture memorization this weekend, but meditate on scripture. Hide it in your heart. Fourthly, sing about him. Sing about him. Ladies, make sound theological music a part of your daily life. Listen to it in the car. Listen to it at home. Sing to the Lord. Fifthly, be a witness for him. Be a witness. Tell others. Make his name known. When is the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Are you obeying the Great Commission? We need to make him known. And lastly, pray to God. Pray without ceasing, call upon his name, talk to God throughout the day. Ladies, that will cultivate a prayerful heart. So what comes into your mind when you think about God? Maybe after looking at our sovereign God in Psalm 145, you too could be like King David who praised God every day, good days, bad days, but praise God. Why? Why could David do that? How did he do that? Because he thought correctly about God. And remember, whatever comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So in closing, will you cultivate a prayerful heart by disciplining yourself in the word of prayer, by thirsting for God in the wilderness, and by remembering this awesome God who listens to your prayers? I pray that you will. Let's pray together. Father, we will extol your name forever and ever. Every day we will bless you, for you are great, and your name is greatly to be praised. Oh, Father, I pray that we would meditate upon all your wondrous works, that we would sing of them, that we would talk of them, that we would tell others about them. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that this would cultivate a prayerful heart. Lord, that we would not leave here today just thinking that it's been a fun time to be with our friends and we've heard some good messages or good workshops or whatever and had some good food and times together and then go home without any life change, Lord, I pray. That would be very dangerous. I pray that we would leave these doors in thinking about how we can make some changes so that we do become women of prayer, women that cultivate a prayerful heart. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for these ladies. Thank you for this church. Pray that it will remain a lighthouse in this community. I pray for all the other churches, Lord, that are represented here as well. I've met several pastors' wives, and so I know there's other churches represented. And so, God, I do pray that you would keep them faithful to your word. We are living in a crazy age of apostasy, and there is a famine for the word of the Lord. I do pray, oh God, that you will help all the churches that are represented to remain faithful to you. We can again thank you. You are a great God and our great King. We love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.